Thank you for being a listener of the Women in Tech podcast. To support the podcast and cheer us on, become an MVL, Most Valuable Listener, on our private feed where you'll have ad-free episodes and join us in Zoom meetups to meet other listeners of our podcast community. Go to womenintech.love, linked in the show notes.
Honestly, let's face it, each one of us sitting in this room, where we are in our journeys, we are those icons. So I would say we should own up and say, yes, we are icons. We are icons, not in that iconic world fame, maybe that kind of newspaper headlines, but why not? Why can't we be those people? And as together or collectively, I feel we can have that influence in society, in our worlds, in our lives. And so we are icons.
3, 2, 1. My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I.
We have here today the girl who gets things done, the number one in the top 10 podcast voices. How you amplify the voice of women in tech in your podcast is significant. We're so happy you're here. But she is going to moderate our panel, and please give a warm welcome, Esprit Devora.
Hello, everybody.
I am so excited. The very first thing before we get started, because sometimes it's not so obvious, I want to thank our male allies in here. I sometimes get questions, is it okay for me to show up to the Women in Tech event? And thank you all for amazing supporting us. We need you in order to get ahead. And just like Karen said, my success is your success. Your success is my success. And that's what it means to be a woman leader. I'm so exhilarated about this power panel. But before I even get started, I want to thank our MC, Nancy. She is my icon today. She's been doing an amazing job
emceeing.
I'm so excited. And Rashana and Chaitra, this is just an incredible event that presented by Microsoft. It's the final event of the Women in Cloud annual tour. And I'd like to welcome our speakers to the stage. So where are you all sitting? Come join me. So what you're going to be walking away with on today's panel is actionable insights. We're all very approachable. So remember that you can talk to any of us. We're not scary. I'm a little scary, but they're not scary at all. So we're not scary. You can talk to any of us. So just remember that this is a collaborative experience. We will have time for Q&A, which is very important to me. It's my favorite part. And I just want to repeat again what Andrea said in the film. It's all about the collaboration. So your success is my success. My success is your success, just like Karen said. And it's all about the collaboration. And this is what this panel is about. So we're going to start kick off with intros on this amazing power panel. Nancy, since you've been leading us, why don't you go ahead first?
Sure. So my creative agency, thanks to Esprit, the creative agency that I run out of Toronto is based in social science that uses gelatology of all things. Gelatology is the science of laughter and comedy and connecting people and helping professional development get there by bringing authenticity and empowerment. 17th century playwright Molière said, "The purpose of comedy is to change men by amusing them." And I'm from Second City in Toronto and Chicago. We do improv and we use theater techniques. So when Chaitra talks about workforce and leadership development, that is where I am all in and work tirelessly with Women of Cloud to deliver that.
All right, so I am probably on the opposite end of the creativity. I'm a geek, nerd, whatever you want to call it. Growing up, I am the GM engineering at Microsoft, and my team really works right now on employee experiences and security and governance within Microsoft ecosystem. But what, to Nancy's point, engineering not just all numbers, ones and zeros. We do try to do a lot of innovation and creativity while we are continuing to do that. And then for me, with Microsoft, I've been for 18 years, but in the tech industry for 25 years. And my association with Women in Cloud started 4 years back. And it's just been that exhilarating journey. For me, it's I found my tribe. That's what I would put it at.
So I'm Debbie Utek. As I already said, I've been at Microsoft for 18 years and worked on a number of different projects, mostly with partners. Before that, worked at Hasbro, so a long time in kind of the corporate world. And I started working with Women in Cloud, Brenda and I. I'm going to keep bringing you into this, Brenda. We interviewed different groups to try to figure out how to get our scholarship to work. And we met with Chaitra, and Chaitra's just like, I can do it all. I can get it done, yes. And we felt very confident about that. Now I just say yes to whatever Chaitra tells me to do. And so here I am.
So true.
Hey there, and my name is Tracy Ballett. I work for a company called Kyndryl. It's a spinoff from IBM. So I have a degree in physics, a minor in math. I started IBM about 30 years ago working in engineering and in software development, and kind of grew up in learning the business and went off to the Kyndryl spinoff of a senior VP of engineering and cloud delivery. So very much on the science side, very much the movie resonated very much because I'm used to being the only female in the room. And what's surprising is even today, I'm usually the only female in the room. Mm-hmm. It really hasn't changed that much. I have four kids and one grandchild. My four kids, I have two boys and two girls. So it's real interesting to see as the two boys grew up in the technical field, they're both working for computer companies, both software developers. My two girls have no interest in it. And so it's really interesting to see why that is. And I keep pushing, but it's I would have thought that by now we'd have a much farther path along getting women in the middle. And I think from the movie, the sponsorship piece is so, so, so key. And that's what we started working with Women in Cloud, the Kyndryl company did when we spun off, because it was such an important initiative to try to get more women into the IT space. I'm really proud to say one of the key people on that, in the background on several of those frames, is my close friend, Vidya. So I was really excited to see that. So really neat opportunity, and I would encourage everyone, remember that sponsorship piece, because without that, you just can't get anything done.
Amazing. And one of the things that makes me so proud that Microsoft is empowering this session right now is, as most of you know, I produce and host the Women in Tech podcast. I've interviewed thousands of women around the world. And one of my favorite interviews was actually with a Microsoft executive who taught me about icons and leadership. We were talking about mentorship, and she said, you don't want to have someone like me be your mentor. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're one of the highest level people at Microsoft. Who wouldn't want you to mentor them? She said, you want someone just a few steps ahead of you because they could relate to you more and they could help pull you up. And having someone so far ahead that it's not even in your realm yet to start to take action in that particular category is not very helpful. And I've carried that with me through several years of my interviews and my mentorship opportunities and in looking to who should be my icons. And so as we think about how to show up in our peers' lives, really think about, like, don't think I'm not at the level high enough for XYZ person. Who's the person just a few levels under you that you could support to just lift you up? Because that's how we could truly create power, is by being one another's icon. So the first question I have for everybody is, who is your icon and what makes them your icon? And should we just start here since it's easiest?
Yeah. Okay. My icon, it's a gentleman who is an amazing person. I watched him kind of, he started in India in software development and kind of rose through the ranks. And I watched him through his career bring women along the entire time. And Chaitra knows who I'm talking about, amazing person. And the reason why he's such a great icon is because every step of the way, he brought two or three or four women along with him. And you could see that as he went through his career, he never forgot those people that he kind of brought along from the very beginning. So he kept just an amazing, amazing trail of impact and influence. Recently passed away, and so we had a lot of discussions around it. It was just amazing to see how many people he was able to touch throughout that they then in turn touched in the same way. So icons can come in all shapes and forms. I think the ones who are the most impactful are the ones who care the most. His name is Harish Grama.
I have so many icons running through my head, and I just am trying to pick one. But I was going to say Taylor Swift, because she just has so much influence over girls, and she can do anything, and she, you know, brings prosperity to every city she comes into, right? She has so much influence. But I think, you know, now I am saying too. But my sister, my older sister is someone who is just very strong. She's very kind, but she can be kind and strong at the same time. And that just means a lot to me to emulate that.
For me, I guess I was thinking back in history. So I'll give you two instead of one. Is that okay to make?
Yeah, of course. I just did it.
All right. So for me, historically, and as I said, I'm a geek, nerd, whatever you want to call it, but everybody, if I ask whoever has been in the computer field to know a name, we were always taught the father of computer industry is Charles Babbage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I learned my first computer book. But how many of you know that actually Ada Lovelace was mm-hmm. the one who actually laid the foundation for the first computer? How many did anybody know mm. that? All right, great, some people did. So she was the one who actually she was the first computer programmer in the world, and she laid the foundation for the computing industry. Recently, and since we are at a movie screening here, how many of you have seen Hidden Figures?
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, please go take time to watch it. So Katherine Johnson became my icon from that perspective, because she showed whatever we've been talking about as icons, determination, resilience, foresight, innovation. She was a genius, and she fought against both gender and racial discrimination. And why she's become my icon, and along with her, Dorothy Vaughan and Mary Jackson, because they also had the foresight to look at the trends in the industry and help others be trained beforehand so that they could then make those changes happen, which others were not able to. So those people really became my icons now. And I bring up that example even for my team right now with AI, that if we are not looking ahead and training ourselves, then we are not doing the right thing. And personally, it's my grandmother.
Mm.
And mm. she was somebody who was born in 1910. And she grew up where she wasn't allowed to study beyond, well, she was lucky. She was allowed to study up to high school. But growing up, I remember we had this huge family. My grandparents had 7 children. And so we had this huge extended family, but she was the one who kept on telling us that always believe in yourself. Education is your weapon, arsenal, whatever, and make sure that you go after it. And that was, she was like one of those people that just had that first impression for me.
Oh, so lovely. Thank you. Well, other than Carol Burnett and redoing all of her sketches in my living room growing up, Nancy Vedic is the past Supreme Court Justice in Indianapolis and is working very, very hard bringing an online law school to approach the legal deserts that exist and get proper legal representation in America. We have Carolyn Silfon from Princeton Physics, who intentionally wears pink and works very hard trying to dispel the myth that femininity is synonymous with weakness. And my mother at 92 years old last week got word from the university that they will be publishing her book in Scottish history. And as a proponent of lifelong learning, I am very grateful to have been raised by such a woman with a deep curiosity. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'd like you to think about, when we get to questions, who is your icon and why? And I'd be remiss not to mention one of my icons, mentors, friends, who is no longer with us, who made every South By absolutely remarkable for me, was Tony Hsieh,
yeah.
who really encouraged me to activate my voice and to speak up. And I didn't take his suggestions a lot of the time because I was scared, and I wish I did. He put me in so many rooms of power, and I'm so thankful. So with that, I want to ask the next question. How do you activate your voice both in work and at home? And when you're feeling like your voice is a little bit stifled, what do you do to push through the discomfort? Do you want to lead us, Nancy, this time?
Shockingly, I've not really had a problem. I'm just kidding. Of course I do. Of course I do. And part of the you know, wonderful defense mechanism of humor is to hide a little bit behind that. It is a great defense mechanism. And yet at the same time, I have used it both to protect myself and to make a conscious intentional action of connecting with another. Victor Borgia once said, the shortest distance between two people is laughter. And so I have found it multi-purpose, in twofold. I have been able to protect myself and help others and reach others through that. When self-doubt is in my ear and I am unsure, I use this powerful weapon and I write. I write and I write and I write and free fall writing without stopping, 10 minutes only, is a wonderful opportunity to introduce yourself to yourself in a novel and unconventional way.
So for me, I think a lot of people mentioned that when I started my career, I was one of the four people in the entire graduating class. And then when I joined my job, again, one of the 10 women in the entire 100 or so people who were joining at that time in the tech industry. And I was naive, I'll admit it. I wasn't one of those people who would speak up. I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, do my best work and somebody will spot it. And, you know, and then I learned the hard way that you have to amplify your voice. Mm-hmm. And the way I did it was to find mentors or allies who can help me amplify my voice, and then learning through them to become the same for somebody else. And so that's how I do. I do make sure that I find those allies and then help others find the allies to amplify their voices, and I can hope to be the ally for somebody. At home, ironically, it was very different, because as women, we are expected to play all those roles. I think in the movie also people were talking about, and I was no different. As I was growing up in my career, I had a lot of I was the good girl, by the way. You know, the good girl, until I was not. And so I did have to go through that period and change in myself, look within myself and find that voice, and then help find that voice for the next generation. And so when my daughter now comes and says, Mom, you can absolutely do it. To me, it signifies that I did something right, because she has grown up with that confidence that she can absolutely do anything. Mm-hmm. So
for me, I think it's been a journey, honestly. So I was raised in a very strict home. Women were meant to serve. My mom was the greeter at church, you know, so I was the greeter with her. So when I started in corporate world, I didn't speak up in those rooms. I was quiet. But then I'd ask my manager later, well, why didn't we do this? Why wouldn't we say this? So shouldn't this be our strategy? And he finally looked at me and he said, I feel like you're waiting for permission to do your job. So let me just say it. You have permission. Go do your job. You know what you're doing. You've got it. You don't need anyone to validate it for you. And that was really pivotal for me to just really start to say, okay, no, I've got it. And so one of my favorite things is to mentor. We have a lot of college hires that come through Microsoft, and I've really enjoyed doing a lot of mentoring with those college hires. You know, things like, how do I have a difficult conversation with my manager? How do I, you know, write my review? All of those kind of conversations that are new in career, it's hard, you know? And so now I'm trying to pay that forward. So that's really giving me energy to have that time with new and career people and help them find their voice too.
So you guys had a lot of great advice. I think the only thing I can add is that it's actually, sometimes it's okay to be quiet too. Mm-hmm. So you kind of pick your battles. Don't always feel like you're pressured to speak up. Kind of sit back and decide when you want to and when you think it's going to be most impactful. And sometimes you may want to, but realize it's not the right time. So it's okay to pick that those times.
Nice. 100%. And I'm curious, do each of you see yourselves as an icon? And if you do, what's one word that you think people come to you for? And then if you don't, I'm curious why not?
A couple weeks ago, I was talking to someone and they said, you know, I follow you on LinkedIn. I watch what you're doing. You're such a role model. And I was actually taken aback. And I thought, I don't see myself that way. And I'm not sure I feel really that comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. So it kind of made me think. And the discussion around the icons, I think it's kind of a lifelong journey. And I think everybody's along on that journey. So to kind of look at yourself and say, yes, I think I'm that icon. I'm not sure. I think, again, I feel like we're all on that journey together to try to help each other out. So hopefully I can help people as I meet them and they can, you know, it's kind of a two-way street. I always talk about reverse mentoring too. So we'll see. I'm kind of on that journey. I don't think I'm there. So
I had a similar thought of like, I'm getting there. Maybe I'm, you know, starting to warm up to the idea that I can have impact on other people's lives. I can have impact for the vision that I have and for, you know, creating access for others. All of those things are so important to me. So I feel in my job, you know, yes, I have impact, but I can create impact beyond that. And that's the part I think that's making me feel like I can actually be an icon. I'm still not quite saying it. The other thing is looking at me through the eyes of my kids or through other people helps me see, okay, I'm having an impact on them. I'm, you know, they're seeing me as someone that they look up to. And then I think the one word people come to me for would probably be conflict. Maybe it's the word conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of the, you know, hey, this happened, what should I do? Those kinds of conversations, which are hard sometimes, but also, you know, I'm happy to give my perspective on those.
So for me, I think I associate being an icon, not because of fame or visibility, but to Debbie's point, because of the impact and influence that I can have. And even if it is, I can influence or impact one life, for that person, you are an icon. And honestly, let's face it, each one of us sitting in this room, where we are in our journeys, we are those icons. So I would say we should own up and say, yes, we are icons. We are icons, not in that iconic world fame, maybe that kind of newspaper headlines, but why not? To Chaitra's point, why not? Why can't we be those people? And as together or collectively, I feel we can have that influence in society, in our worlds, in our lives. And so we are icons.
Thank you. Beautiful. That's exactly where I was going, that this is a contagion, right? Mm-hmm. When I see it, I believe I can do it too. The great Chicago journalist Sidney Harris said, information is just giving out. Communication is getting through. I know that my purpose in my work is communicating, speaking, and connecting. And if I can do that in a way that just moves the behavioral dial a little bit, I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction out of that. And if we can do so while we're laughing, all the better.
Thank you so much. We've been talking about journey, which is so important. What Nancy just said, when I see examples, and that's the mission of the Women in Tech podcast. If she can do it, so can I. And so I'd like to ask each of you on your journey in becoming icons and topping and really showing an example of what that means. What is an obstacle that you've successfully overcome and how did you overcome it? Why don't we kick it off over there?
How did I overcome? It's the self-doubt is a character in my life. And it's not like I can do something once I get rid of the self-doubt. She's coming along for the ride. Sometimes she's louder, sometimes she's softer. Her name is Ruth because she is ruthless. And it's my relationship with that self-doubt and embracing it and sometimes laughing at it. and objectifying the voice and then welcoming her in. I know that sounds like really weird, but it is a process and it's very useful. Not taking myself so damn seriously is the quick answer to that question. How do I get over it? I get over myself, as my grandmother would say.
For me, I think somebody was mentioning that even today, girls are not thinking about STEM. But I started my career 25 years back. And when I was growing up and studying, despite the fact that my grandmother had that great advice about education, for whatever family reasons, I was growing up in this small town in North India at that time, and it was conservative. And girls were not encouraged to get into STEM. And I wanted to study maths and science because I was good at it. Mm-hmm. And so much so that I was cut off. I was actually told not to go to school, not to go to college, and that kind of restriction. So I had to really work through that, even strike out on my own with no money, nothing, not even knowing where I was going to be. But I guess I made it. I'm here, right?
So my obstacle also has a name. We had a leadership training at Microsoft, and we had one-on-one consulting through that, which was great because that's where we got to name my obstacle. And her name is Pleasing Polly.
Oh, really? Awesome.
So as you can imagine from growing up, you know, in that where women are meant to serve, I was never talked to about college either. So, you know, in that environment, I grew up thinking I'm not as important and that I need to serve everybody around me. And so it really was an obstacle because I'm so busy helping everyone else. I'm not doing what I want to do and reaching my goals. So it's really been a journey to say, you know, oh, that's Pleasing Polly. I need to set a boundary here, which I'm terrible at setting boundaries. So working on it.
I have a bad habit. I don't like to hear the words, you can't do that. Mm. So anytime someone says, yeah, you can't do that, it's a challenge for me. So I don't necessarily have ups. I don't see them as obstacles. I just see them as things I need to do because someone told me I can't and I want to prove them wrong. So it makes it more fun, though. So, yeah. You know, so actually I challenge. It's great to have those challenges and those obstacles because if something flips and I say, now I'm going to figure out how to do it. And then sometimes I get in the middle and I think, what the heck did I get into? But usually, so I think just having the right perspective on it and looking at it as something you want to do and want to overcome helps you overcome them.
Fantastic. And as we wrap up this portion of the session, the power panel, I want to thank all our amazing speakers. Thank you so much. I also would like you to share with everyone where they can find you. So Nancy, why don't you go first?
Sure. Nancy Watt Communications out of Toronto. Please, let's continue the conversation.
Well, Monica Gupta, I'm from Seattle, Microsoft. So please do find me. You can hit me up on LinkedIn and I'll be happy to chat.
Debbie UTech, and probably LinkedIn's easiest. And I'm happy to just have my scanner thing open, my QR code, and happy to connect. Thank you.
And I'm Tracy Ballett. I'm here in Austin, and it's Kyndryl, KYNDRYL, is my current company.
And my name is Esprit Devora of the Women in Tech podcast. You can email me at espree@hey.com or at Esprit Devora on any social. What the journey we're about to take you on is we are going to watch two trailers and then we'll have Q&A. And so what I'd like you to do is think about who is your icon and why, and also how do you activate your voice? And then as we just had this really inspiring discussion, what is a moment that really spoke to you? Because I think the speakers would really appreciate hearing what really resonated and furthering the discussion on those points. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ashley.
The Women in Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit Devora,
with help from Janice Geronimo,
edited by Corey Jennings,
production and voiceover by Adam Carroll,
and music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The Women in Tech podcast is a WeAreTech.fm production.
Thank you for being a listener of the Women in Tech podcast. To support the podcast and cheer us on, become an MVL, Most Valuable Listener, go to womenintech.love, linked in the show notes.